For our scripture reading this morning, we'll be reading from Psalm 96. We'll be reading the entire psalm as it relates to the message this morning. We look at the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, to petitioning the Lord to hallow His name. Psalm 96. Hear the Word of God. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For He is coming. For He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with His truth. So I've read Psalm 96, verses 1 through 13. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. One of the most abused names today, and perhaps it has been this way since the fall of man, is the name of God. The name God and Jesus Christ, for that matter, are the number one expletives used by many today. Yes, I know that there's other words of profanity that many people use who are of limited vocabulary, but I'm focused upon the name of God because using it in a profane way carries with it a most particular and painful disrespect to the one person whose name ought to be treated with the greatest of respect and honor, and not as a common swear word. Indeed, there's a profound hypocrisy when professing Christians pray the Lord's Prayer, petitioning our Father who is in heaven, "Hallowed be Your name." And then turns around and uses His name in such an unholy way, using it as a curse word to express frustration or anger at someone or when you suffer an injury. It transgresses against the commandment not to take the Lord's name in vain, according to the Ten Commandments, and it is evidence of a casual view of God Himself, of whom His name gives us a proper understanding of who He is. Further, it is evidence of a lack of understanding of what is being petitioned in the Lord's Prayer when we make the request to hallow the name of our Father in heaven. Which leads us to the focus of the message this morning. But before we go into the message itself, let us remember where we are in the series of messages on prayer. We have previously considered three of the four subjects related to this topic of prayer. Its necessity, its essence, and its acceptability. And we are now in the midst of the series of messages that relate to the fourth subject concerning prayer, its components. I'm going to shamelessly plug the sermon audio. We have all of the messages online, so that if you have access to a computer and you miss those messages, you can get caught up by listening to them at your leisure during the week. Now, the subject of prayer, its components, covers the Lord's Prayer. We began last week in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And as was noted, we began this series of message. The Lord's Prayer can be broken down into three parts. The preface, which is found in the first part, or the first half of verse 9. And then the preface, which is found in the latter part of verse 9. And then also all the way through the first part of verse 13. And then the conclusion, which makes up the other half of verse 13. This week we'll begin our look at the six petitions of the Lord's Prayer. As we have already discussed the preface in two messages, this week we look at the six petitions. We begin this week with the six petitions of the Lord's Prayer. The six petitions can be understood as having two types of petitions, where the first three petitions relate more immediately to God and His honor, and the last three petitions relate to our own concerns, both temporal and spiritual. In understanding them in this way, we are reminded of how the Ten Commandments are understood as having their two parts to the Ten Commandments. You recall, even in our catechism, it talks about the Ten Commandments having two tables. The first table consists of our duty toward God, which consists of the first four commandments, and then the second table, consisting of the last six commandments, tells us of our duty toward our neighbor. And Jesus instructing us to pray in this way also teaches us to put into practice what He says later in chapter 6 of Matthew, where we're told to seek first the kingdom of God, with the understanding and hope that all the other things that concern us will be added to us. Now this morning we'll be considering the first petition, Hallowed be Your Name. In looking at this petition, we will first seek to understand what is the significance of God's name. This will help us understand the importance of hallowing His name and lead to answer the question that flows from this petition. What is it to hallow His name? In what way is His name to be hallowed? First, in understanding the significance of God's name, we must rightly know Him. We must know Him in all His works, which demonstrate His power, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth, and are expressed in His various names that are ascribed to Him in Scripture. Today, names are given to children at birth to distinguish them from other children, or to honor a relative or some other significant person. Some names are given to children, I don't know. Seems like they give them just to humiliate them when they grow up. You know, they're just odd names that, just strange names. But anyway, but names are given today mainly to distinguish them from other children. In the Old Testament time, a name was given to a child that would describe the person's character or personality. Sometimes that's the case today, but not normally. Because of the importance of having a name in the Old Testament that fit the person's character or personality, it was sometimes changed so that it would fit better with their character or their personality. A good example of this is when God changed the name of Saul of Tarsus to Paul. The apostle, signifying that he was a servant of God and commissioned by Him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. The Hebrew name for Saul means asked for. It was given by his parents, which was changed by the Lord. We don't know why his parents gave him that name. Maybe it was an answer to a prayer that his parents had that were praying for a child. And so he was named Saul because he was asked for by his parents. It's not in the Scripture, but it seems reasonable to make that assumption. But that name, Saul of Tarsus, was changed by the Lord Himself to the name Paul. It was a Roman name, which means small, which is derived from the word paucity, meaning small number, small of number, insufficiency or scarcity. And in light of Paul's own assessment of himself in 2 Corinthians 2, 16 and 17, and in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and then also in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Perhaps the sense of the word small would be best understood in the sense of being insignificant, insufficient. A continual reminder of Paul of his own insufficiency as a minister of the gospel and his dependency upon the Lord. Indeed, perhaps every minister should be called Paul, because we all acknowledge and we all recognize our own insufficiency in ministering to others the gospel of Christ. Indeed, we are all dependent upon the Lord. We also see the changing of the name to fit the character and nature of the person being practiced when it comes to the name of God, by God Himself, as He reveals Himself to His people throughout the Old and New Testaments. In Scripture, God gives various names. God's various names reveals to us who He is and His attributes. For example, the name El Shaddai is used to express that God is Almighty, the source of salvation for His people. It also uses the name Elohim to refer to Himself, which refers to the fullness of God's power. Elyon, which means God Most High. Adonai, which speaks of God as Master, literally, my Master. Master or Lord is what Adonai means. And then there's the name Jehovah, which is explained in Exodus 3, 13 and 14 by the Lord Himself. Jehovah, or I Am, to quote the Lord in verse 14, is a form of the verb to be, as has been interpreted to mean I am that I am, or I shall be what I shall be. From this revelation of Himself, the Hebrew name Yahweh is derived, consisting of four letters, the Yod, the He, the Wah, and the He, for you Hebrew scholars out there. This name speaks of God's eternal self-existence, of being infinite and self-sufficient in His nature. This truth is what is being expressed in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, where it says that he who comes to God must believe that He is. That is, that God is the I Am, the eternal self-existing one, infinite and self-sufficient in nature. And it is to this name Jesus was referring when He told the Jews in John 8:58, I am, ego eimi in the Greek, as He was revealing to them that He was not just a man, but God incarnate, Yahweh, indeed, manifest in the flesh. This name has become so sacred that many use the Latin version of the word, quote, Jehovah, end quote, rather than to say that the name Yahweh out of fear of profaning God's name. The Jews, even today, when reading Scripture, will substitute Adonai for the word Yahweh, when they come to it in the passage. Jehovah is also used in combination with other words to describe Him and His work as He relates to His people, such as Jehovah of hosts, Jehovah our righteousness, Jehovah will provide, Genesis 22:14. Jehovah is peace, Judges 6:24. And Jehovah is my shepherd, Psalm 23:1, plus other uses of in combination with the word Jehovah to describe how He relates to His people. And so we can see how significant the name of God is in these uses. In fact, the name is so closely associated to God Himself that we come to understand that the name of God signifies God Himself and His works. We see this in several passages in the Psalms where we read, "Let those who love Your name be joyful in You. I will sing praise to Your name, Most High," Psalm 9:2. Then called I upon the name of the Lord, "O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul." Psalm 116:4. And so it is. Is it any wonder that in Psalm 111 we read, "Holy and reverent is His name." In Isaiah 57:15, the prophet declares that the name of the High and Lofty One is holy. And then in the Virgin Mary's song of praise to the Lord, she declares, quote, "He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name," end quote. So sacred is the name of God that the Jews believed Jesus was profaning God's name when He used it, that most sacred name, Yahweh, or I Am, to refer to Himself in John 8:58, as we noted. Thus we can see just how closely His name is connected to Him, to God, that when we speak of the name of God, we are speaking of God Himself and His holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, as the seraphim cried out in Isaiah 6:3. Thus we can say with the Virgin Mary, "Holy is His name." And we begin our requests of our Heavenly Father, asking that His name be hallowed. But what does it mean that God's name be hallowed? In what way is our Heavenly Father's name to be hallowed? And this is the second question that we draw from the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Only what does it mean? But also, how we are to apply this. In what way are we to hallow His name? Also, elsewhere in Scripture, the same Greek word translated hallowed here is translated sanctified. And that is to set apart as uniquely belonging to someone or something. To sanctify the name of God is to give to the Lord the glory that is due His name. As you read in our Scripture reading this morning. In 1 Chronicles 17:24, King David prayed in part, "Let it be established that Your name may be magnified forever." King David was praying that the Lord's name be magnified, exalted, glorified, because in the name of God His work and person are known. Thus we must know God rightly so, and knowing Him as He has revealed Himself to us in His works and in His Word, we will all the more glorify God in all His works, whereby He demonstrates to us His power, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth. And to do so in such a way that those around us will not think of God in any other way than with the deepest reverence towards His most holy name. That is, that they would come to our Father by faith in Jesus Christ with a repentant heart towards sin and be saved. But let us not think that by praying, "Hallowed be Your name," that we will make Him holy, for He is, for He sanctifies His own name. We don't. We are praying, but rather we are praying that God's name is acknowledged, reverenced, and praised as holy, being already in itself holy. And so we are said to hallow or sanctify God, who is by nature holy Himself, when we acknowledge Him to be holy, as He has revealed Himself to us in His Word and His works, thinking of Him and understanding His very being, His essence, His will, His omnipotence, His goodness, His wisdom, and all the other attributes in conformity to the way He has revealed Himself to us in His Word and in no other way. Not only are we to hallow the name of God by acknowledging Him in our thinking and understanding as He has revealed Himself to us, we are also to hallow the name of God by our words and by our actions as we profess and praise Him, glorifying Him by a life that reflects the purity and holiness of God, as we learn from 1 Peter 1, 15, and 16. Further, we sanctify the name of God when we seek to direct our doctrine and knowledge and profession of the holiness of God together with all of our prayer and actions to the ultimate end to which God has purposed all things, that is, to God's glory and praise. Now, how can we do that if we're profaning the Lord's name? We can't. But there is a problem for us in petitioning God's name to be hallowed, acknowledging God's holiness in our thinking and understanding, professing and praising Him in the conduct of our lives, and directing all that we say and do in a way that all glory and praise is given to God's most holy name. The problem is that we are prone, by our sin nature, to not hallow God's name. But rather we are inclined to profane His name and blaspheme it, according to Romans 3, 14 and 18, and other passages in Scripture. We do that quite easily. It comes to us by nature. Calvin says it this way, quote, "Holiness always dwells and permanently remains in God, but men obscure it by their malice and depravity, or dishonor and pollute it by sacrilegious contempt." End quote. So we see a radical change is required before we will hallow the name of God. Therefore, we must understand in this first petition of the Lord's Prayer, not only that our Heavenly Father's name be hallowed by us, but also a request is being made that God so work in us that we will desire to hallow His name and be able to sanctify His name, the name of God, so His name is rightly hallowed by us. It is with this understanding of our need to be sanctified first that we ought to be praying, "Hallowed be Your name." Praying not only that the name of God be hallowed by us, but also in us. Desiring that God, our Father, will work in us in three ways. First, that He would enlighten us with the true knowledge of His holiness, granting us rightly to know Him. And then in that knowledge of Him, from His Word and by His Spirit, grant us grace to sanctify, glorify, and praise Him in all His works, which clearly show forth His power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth. Second, that He would grant us true faith and repentance and renew us by His Spirit so that we might be holy as He is holy. Without God making us holy by the blood of Christ, washing us from our sin and regenerating us by the Holy Spirit, we will not sanctify God and His name will not be hallowed by us. In Ezekiel, we read that what has been accomplished in Christ by the mighty work of the Holy Spirit was prophesied about 600 years before. Ezekiel was instructed by the Lord to tell Israel about what He was going to do, because instead of hallowing His name, they profaned it all the time. They profaned it in their worship, in their words, in their actions, in their daily life. They knew what the requirement of God was. Do not take the Lord's name in vain, but it was taken all the time. His name was not hallowed. But God knew what the problem was. The Lord told them that He was going to make a necessary, radical change to their heart, doing what is impossible for man to do. Just as a leopard can't change his spots, so can man not change anything about himself. Except maybe his outward appearance, but that doesn't help the inward heart. It takes a work of the Lord, and the Lord knew that. And this is what the Lord said to the people of Israel through the prophet Ezekiel. He said, quote, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." In this passage, we understand that by grace, God makes a radical change in His people. That's what He said He was going to do, because that was necessary. He gave them the gift of faith and repentance so they would desire and be able to conduct their lives in a way that is glorifying to God, so that they would hallow His name. Thus, in praying, "Hallowed be Your name," we are also petitioning our Father to grant us His grace so that our hearts are changed from being inclined to profane His name to being more inclined to hallow His name. Lift it up, separate it, set it apart, that He Himself would hallow His name in us by making us hallow or holy in Christ our Lord and granting us faith in His Word and repentance from our sins. And then flowing from the second way, the third way in which we are asking God to work in us when we pray, "Hallowed be Your name," is that He would give us a disposition inclining our hearts to profess the holiness of His divine name in word and deed to His praise and glory. Because by nature we are disposed to profaning God's name when He changes our desires, so that we are disposed to profess the holiness of God's name in our conversations and in our deeds we perform, we will do so consistently. As He changes our hearts to do so, we'll be more consistent. We'll be consistent in doing so. And it'll be known to others that it is by God's grace inclining our hearts to do that, and not from our own strength or our own will. He alone will be glorified because He has worked mightily in us, so that we are able to so order our life, our thoughts, our words and deeds, that His name may not be blasphemed, but honored and praised on our account. So we might summarize our consideration of this first petition by quoting the Heidelberg Catechism. For an answer to question 122, what is the first petition? We are taught that in praying, "Hallowed be Your name," we are asking God our Father to grant us first rightly to know Him, to hallow and magnify His name, or magnify and pray, to hallow, magnify, and praise Him in all His works in which His power, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth shine forth. And further, that we so order our whole life, our thoughts, words, and deeds, that His name may not be blasphemed, but honored and praised on our account. End quote. Beloved in the Lord, let us always be mindful of what we've learned this morning as we recite together the Lord's Prayer, so that when we pray the first petition requesting the name of our Father in heaven to be hallowed, not only by us, but also in us, that His name would be hallowed by us and in us. So in making us holy in Christ by His Spirit and His blood, we'll be able to continually think of and know the holiness of God, His holy name, as He has revealed Himself in His Word and His works, whereby we are disposed to acknowledge and profess His name by our words and deeds and the conduct of our lives, so that His name is hallowed, magnified, and praised not only by us, but others also. As Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:16, quote, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." End quote. To God alone be all praise, glory, and honor. His name alone. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do give thanks to You. Rejoice in Your mercies towards us. Hallowed be Your name. Lord, give us that desire. Grant us that desire, that willingness, that eagerness to hallow Your name. But Lord, we know that we cannot do that of our own, but that we be made holy only by Your regenerating work in us, granting us faith and repentance in Jesus Christ, will we be made holy. That washing of regeneration that changes our hearts, it takes our stone, that heart of stone out of the flesh, and we are given that heart of flesh, giving us that desire to hallow Your name. Let us always be aware of the sacredness of Your name, whatever form that may take. Let us not use it as just a common word, whether it's the word God or the word Jesus Christ or some other word, let us not use that in a profane way. These names belong to You, O Lord, to You alone. These are not common names. Holy is Your name. So let us live our lives and our words and our actions in a way that our lives are so ordered that Your name would be not only lifted up by us, but by others also, as a demonstration of Your power that is at work in us by Your Spirit, the truth that has been revealed to us in Your Word, Your goodness and Your mercies that have been demonstrated, and Your love that's been demonstrated to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who You sent to die on our behalf, that we might have life, and life more abundantly. So, Lord, we pray these things with humbled hearts, in that name that is above all other names, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.